How many want to have good relationships? Four of us, five of us. There's a few more. You want to have good relationships. How many want to have bad relationships? I mean, you just want to have terrible relationships. Anybody here? No takers. Well, that's good. I'm talking to the right crowd this morning. Praise God. The good news is the Bible gives us many keys on how to have good relationships in the home, in the church, on the job. We want to look at some of those keys over the next maybe 2 or 3 weeks. God is a relational God, and he designed us to have a relationship with him as well as relationship with one another. In the very beginning, God created Adam, gave him a great outdoor job, gave him a great place to live. I mean, it was a pretty cool place, pretty cool time to live. But Adam immediately knew there was something missing. And God himself said, it is not good for man to live alone. Amen. Yeah, all the husbands said amen. And so God puts Adam to sleep, and he creates Eve to be a person that he could be a companion to him, to have a relationship with. By the way, I think he put Adam to sleep because I'm pretty sure that Adam would have been tinkering in there, saying, God, I think you need to make this a little bit bigger and maybe this a little bit smaller. And God said, dude, you're going to sleep, and this is my job. But bottom line, God wired us for a relationship. And if we don't have those healthy relationships, there's going to be a void on the inside that nothing can fill. Your achievements can't fill that. Your hobbies can't fill. Nothing on the planet is going to be able to fill that void that God created to be only filled with relationship with him and relationship with one another. And even though we want good relationships, how many know it's not always easy? Sometimes there's some challenges because of the sin nature that we're all born with. You know, when Adam sinned, Eve sinned, sin came in. And so now we got to deal with things like selfishness and fear and pride and insecurity and all these things that sometimes work within us that have a way of just working against healthy relationships. But thank God, if we apply his word, we can have the kind of relationships that I believe God wants us to have. And I want to talk about one of the keys today that I believe God's given us in order to have good relationships. If we apply this in our life, apply it in the home, apply it in the church, in the job, we can have good relationships. And that key is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. It says this, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. Honor one another above yourselves. Honor, and that's the key. The key number one is to show honor. Honor is a word that we really don't use much in terms of one another anymore. Yet, it's very important to God, should be important to us. Honor really isn't that big of a deal in the Western culture, but in Bible times, it was huge. The idea of showing honor was a real big deal, and it still is in a lot of different cultures. In the Asian culture, Middle East, some of the African nations, honor, showing honor is very, very important. Public honor is a big deal. And on the other hand, public dishonor, I mean, that's devastating to folks that grow up in that culture. They will avoid that at any cost. It's interesting, I read that during an economic downturn in Korea a number of years ago, a lot of the Korean businessmen lost their jobs, and they felt like if they told their families, it would bring dishonor and shame on their families. And so they got up every day, didn't tell their families. They got up every day at the same time, dressed for work. They left the house, but they didn't have a job to go to. Instead, they went to a national park that was nearby and just walked the trails all day until it was time to go home, and then went home. Now, I don't know how long. Eventually, I mean, you don't bring a paycheck home, and wife is going to understand something going on, but at least, I mean, it was that's important to them. But in our Western culture, I think it just seems to me that the concept of honor and showing honor has slowly disappeared. Instead, I believe we're living in an age of perpetual dishonor. There are family members who don't speak to one another because you didn't vote the way that I think you should have voted. There are friends who will defriend you on social media because they don't like something that you posted, and so I'm no longer your friend. That's not honor. And the concept of showing honor, I think, is slowly disappearing from our culture. But honor, according to the scripture, is one of the keys to developing healthy relationships with one another. I want to read the scripture again. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. I want to read it in a couple different versions. Here's the New King James Version. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, and in honor, giving preference to one another. In honor, giving preference to one another. That word preference, we have an idea what that means, but I looked it up in the original Greek language, did a little study on that, and it actually means to go before and show the way. So when we're giving preference, it means to go before and show the way, or to lead the way for others. So what Paul is telling us is don't wait on somebody else to show you honor. You take the lead and show honor to them. Be the first, lead the way. In other words, model to them what honor looks like. Take the lead in the home. Well, when he shows honor to me, then I'm gonna, no. That's not what Paul's saying. He says, be first. Take the lead. Go first. Say, I'm gonna be the bigger person in the situation. And regardless of how you're treating me, regardless of how you're talking to me, I'm gonna show honor to you. How would that change your home? Then I like this other version, TLV. It says, outdo one another in giving honor. Outdo one another in giving honor. Wow. How do you think it would affect the relationships in your home if you were in competition with one another to see who could outdo each other in showing honor? How would it affect the culture of the church if we weren't worried about somebody giving us respect or somebody giving us what we need, but we were trying to outdo one another in showing honor? I just think it would totally change the culture of the church. I mean, that'd be a church that people would want to come to, don't you think? Amen. But again, it just seems like the concept of honor in our nation has been slipping away with each generation over the last generations. Now, I'm a baby boomer. I'm 66 years old. And I still remember a little bit of the concept of honor that was taught us. My parents taught us to honor. I was taught to honor my parents, honor my teachers. I'll tell you what, if I would have got in trouble at school, if I would have dishonored my parents, I would have got in double trouble when I got home. Now, as far as I know, I never disrespected one single teacher. I never got in trouble. I was a good boy, I guess. Up to a point. after high school, that's another story. But you know, it was just something that was taught us, and it grieves me to see what's happening in our public schools. There was a YouTube video that went viral. And there was a high school male who walked up to his teacher who was in the classroom sitting at a desk and slapped her in the face. I'm telling you, when I see things like that, that makes my blood boil. But that's not unusual. That's not unusual in our public schools anymore. That kind of disrespect seems to be prevalent. We're living in a state of perpetual dishonor. I was taught to honor my coaches, honor the elderly, even honor political leaders that didn't necessarily hold to our viewpoint, simply because of the position. When Bobby Kennedy was running for president in 1968, I was 10 years old, and he came to the Dalles, Oregon, to hold a political rally at the middle school. And the middle school had a huge gym at that time that would hold 3,000 people. And so he rode in a convertible all through the town, and the route took him up Kelly Avenue right by my house. And, the streets were lined with people. It was like a parade. And so here he comes by, the car's driving real slow. And I'm 10 years old, and I run up to him, and I put my hand out, and he reaches down, and he shakes my hand. I still remember that. And I think I did that because I understood that I didn't understand politics at the time, but I did understand that he was a person that I'm supposed to honor. Yeah. He's a person that deserved my honor. Now, I think we're going to have to define honor because we don't talk about it much. Nobody seems to really understand it that much anymore. So let me just define it for you. To honor means to esteem, to treat another with respect because of who they are in what they've done. It also means to consider someone precious or to consider someone valuable. The idea of honor in the original language there's a sense of weightiness to it, that idea of weight, of value. And the opposite of that, of course, is dishonor. To dishonor means to treat something as common or ordinary. My mom has a set of everyday dishes and silverware, and on occasion when we go up there to eat, she'll pull out the everyday dishes and silverware, and you know, if one of them breaks or one of them gets lost, no big deal. It's just common, ordinary, you know, plateware. But she's got some really nice, I don't know if it's china or what it is, and really nice silverware, and that only comes out on special occasions. And that silverware, that's a different story. We can't treat that as common or ordinary. That's valuable. And so we got to treat it as precious. We got to take greater care. We got to respect it. I'm wondering, how do we treat our family members? Do we treat them with honor? Do we esteem them? Do we treat them as valuable and precious to us? Or do we treat them with dishonor, just common and ordinary? What does honor do? Honor esteems, honor cherishes, it values, it builds up, it encourages. Honor always believes the best in others. What does dishonor do? It treats as common, it tears down, it belittles, it criticizes, it devalues, and it assumes the worst. Now, the idea of showing honor may or may not be a big deal to you, but I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to show, prove this to you in Scripture, there's amazing benefits and blessings that will come to us if we understand honor and we learn how to show honor to others. I'm going to show you this, prove this to you from Scripture. Mark chapter 5, Jesus had been traveling around, ministering from city to city, and in just chapter 5 alone, he had done some amazing miracles. He had set a demon-possessed man free. He had healed a woman who had been hemorrhaging, bleeding for 12 years, and she slipped up behind him. She said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. The minute that she got a hold of that garment, the healing power of Jesus went into her body and completely cured her from that bleeding problem. And then he raised a young girl from the dead. I mean, how many know that's not small potatoes miracles? I mean, that's the big league right there. I mean, those are eye-popping miracles. Jesus was demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit and the power he had over all the works of the enemy and over sickness and disease and demonic oppression. And then in Mark chapter 6, Jesus travels to his hometown, Nazareth. Now, I'm assuming, and I think it's a good assumption, that Jesus is going to continue on the healing ministry. He's going to do in Nazareth, his hometown, what he's been doing everywhere else, driving out demons, healing the sick, curing the blind, raising the lame, doing these powerful miracles, and he plans on doing that here. After all, I mean, these are his people. He was raised in this community. He probably had relationships. His parents, his mom had relationships. Brothers and sisters were there. They had relationships. But the miracles never happened. And there's a reason why. Mark chapter 6, verse 1 says, Jesus left there, and he went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They said, where did this man get these things, this wisdom? What is this wisdom that's been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles that he is performing? Apparently they had heard of the miracles that he had been doing. And then he said, isn't this just the carpenter? As you know, Jesus was a carpenter all of his life until he was 30 years old and entered into ministry for the next three and a half years. I mean, he probably made many of their coffee tables and book stands and beds and other furniture in their house. Isn't just this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And listen, they took offense at him. Listen, the very Messiah had shown up. The Messiah that they had been waiting for so many years showed up, and they did not recognize him. They failed to recognize who it was that was among them. They looked at Jesus as just simply common and ordinary. Nothing special about him. Man, his brothers and sisters are here. I remember he was just a snotty-nosed kid running around the street. I probably changed his diaper, you know, as much as the parents did. And who does this guy think he is coming in here acting like he's something? He's just an ordinary guy like the rest of us. What happened? They dishonored him. What was the result? Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and among his relatives and in his own home. And listen, he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. It doesn't say he would not. It says he could not do many mighty miracles. The only thing he could do is heal a few sick people, maybe get a headache or two cured. But none of the powerful things that he had been doing. The dishonor and the lack of faith nullified the power of the Son of God. Think about that. They missed out on a tremendous blessing that Jesus intended for them simply because they failed to show honor where honor was due. And here's the principle. I think this is so important. Honoring others opens the way for you to receive of their gifting and their anointing. I want to say that again. Honoring others opens the door, opens the way for you to receive and benefit and be blessed from the anointing and the gifting and the power of the Holy Spirit that rests upon each one of us. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus was honored and his power and his gifts were released to work. In Mark chapter 6, he was dishonored and that same power and gifts were nullified and shut down. Think about that. You know, I've seen situations where someone was in great need. I'm thinking of some situations. Maybe it was them personally. Other situation I'm thinking about, it was their family members. But the very person that God had designated to bring ministry and maybe bring the answer, bring the solution that they needed into their life were people that they had failed to honor, people that they had dishonored, maybe people that they had become offended at. And they had talked about behind their back. And as a result of that, the very person that God designated to minister to them, bless them, they could not receive from them because of dishonor. Wow. This is heavy stuff, don't you think? You know, there's an old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. And I wonder if after years of attending church with one another, attending small groups and hanging out with one another, if it's possible that we begin to see each other as just simply common and ordinary, rather than honoring the Holy Spirit's gifts and abilities that reside in each one of us. You know, my dad pastored the church here for 38 years, and on occasion he would travel to other churches. He was invited to come and speak and minister at their church. And he told me that every time he traveled, he always had more miracles, more healings, more prophetic anointing that was released through his ministry than he ever had at home. And I think the reason is because, you know, when you travel, nobody really knows you. You're not common, you're not ordinary. He was the man of God. He showed up and he was the man of God. And there was a level of honor. The honor went up. The honor level went up. And as a result of that, they were able to draw from the gifting and the anointing that always resided in him, but wasn't always released at home, back at home in his own church. He's just Pastor Norman. Now, I'm not saying people disrespected him, but I'm just saying it's easy to slip into that place where, yeah, I just know him. I know his faults. I know his weaknesses. And, you know, I've seen him make mistakes and, you know, there's nothing real special about him. So we basically close the door on the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that would flow through them to us. You still out there or you gone home? There's certain people that, you got so quiet, I wonder. There's certain people that God has, in the Word, instructed us to honor. I just want to go through this list real quick. Number one is God. 1 Timothy 1:17, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. God should be number one on our list when it comes to honoring others, right? And honoring God begins with an attitude. It's an attitude of the heart, begins deep in the heart. Honor is something that really begins in the heart, not so much outward, though it eventually manifests there, but really begins in the heart. Listen to what Jesus said, Matthew 15:8. He said, "These people draw near me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." You know, you can come to church and say all the right words and go through all the right motions, but not really have honor in your heart to God. Honor is something that begins in the heart. So how do we honor God? Well, number one, I think we honor him by spending time with him. You know, if we really consider somebody valuable and precious and we never spend time with them, I'm just wondering how valuable they are to you. I mean, man, we got to hang out with God. We got to spend some time with God. If that means getting up a little bit earlier or staying up late or sometime during the day, we're finding time to carve out and say, "God, you are important to me, and I'm going to demonstrate that to you by giving you time." Another way we honor God is by obedience. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll obey my commands." We honor God when we obey him. We dishonor him when we ignore his commands. I mean, if you have read the Bible and you know what God's telling you to do and you don't do it, that's dishonor. That's dishonoring God. We also honor God, here's another way, by showing kindness to those in need. Proverbs 14:31 says, "Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God." When you're kind to the needy, God says, "That honors me. That honors me." Here's another way. We honor God when we give him the first portion of our finances. Proverbs 3:9 says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits." Notice it didn't say last fruits. It said first fruits of all your crops. "Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine." You know, every time you write a tithe check or an offering check or a missionary check or digital, however you do it, you are honoring God. Amen. Did you know that? According to Scripture, you're telling God, "You know, I acknowledge you to be my provider, and I'm trusting that you're going to take, I'm going to give you, you know, that first portion. I'm trusting you to take the rest of it and provide all of my needs." Hallelujah. Even better than if I would have kept the whole thing. Amen. You know, God asked for the first 10% of our income. And then he makes us a promise. He said, "If you give me that first 10%, I'm going to take the 90% you have left, and I'm going to make it go further than that 100% ever would. I'm going to pour out the blessing. I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you you're unable to contain." Pastor, is that true? Are you telling the truth? I tell you what, I could probably get half of the people up here and give a personal testimony of what happened in their life, because I've heard those testimonies. When I began to tithe, man, it was a step of faith. I was scared about it. I didn't know. I'm barely getting along on the 100% that I have. But when I started tithing, man, I started seeing miracles. I started seeing provision that I never expected. Half of you could get up here at least and share a personal testimony about what God's done in your life. But what dishonors God is when we give him leftovers. When we take care of all of our bills, we go out to all the restaurants we want, we take care of all of our hobbies, and then if there's anything left over at the end of the month, "God, I'm going to slip you that $5 bill." That is giving God the leftovers. That does not honor God, and it will not bring the blessing of God in your life. Here's another powerful scripture, 1 Samuel 2:30. God says, "Those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be disdained." If we honor God, God says, "I'm going to honor you." It's coming right back at you. It's the boomerang effect. Amen. New American Standard said, "Those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be insignificant." Man, when we honor God, we're significant in his eyes. When we dishonor God in any way, then we become insignificant. Wow, that's powerful. Another group of people we need to honor is our parents. What I did not say, you did not hear me say, is perfect parents. Did you hear me say that? No, I didn't say that. Bible doesn't say honor your parents if they're perfect. It just says honor your parents. Jesus. Well, first of all, it's one of the Ten Commandments. It made the big 10 list. Honor your parents. Jesus also, and I believe it's in Matthew 15, he reminded us again, honor your parents. Then Paul, the Apostle Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, he again reminds us. He says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. How many parents want it to go well with your kids? You want them to have a good life and a long life. The most important thing you could do is teach them to honor you while they're in the home. Train them to honor you in the home. Parents, if you got kids in the home, do them a favor. Do them a favor and teach them and train them to honor you. Man, it's so important. Don't let them get away with disrespect. If you let them get away with disrespecting you, they're going to grow up and disrespect everybody else. And life will not go well with you, with them. You know, one of the ways that you train them to honor you is by obedience. And let me say first time obedience. If you have to tell your kids 5-6 times to do something, you are not training them to honor you. Or if you tell them to do something, hey, Johnny, go clean your room. And they roll their eyes and toss their hair and give a heavy sigh. And they just walk down the hall. And you can tell by their attitude that, man, they don't want to do that. Guess what? If you let them get away with that, you are teaching them to dishonor you in the home. You know what you need to do if they do that? Not only do they clean their room, but they clean everybody else's room. And if that doesn't work, then they clean the whole house. And if they're old enough, if that doesn't work, they mow the lawn and wash the cars and whatever else it takes. And you just keep it up until they start to realize it's probably better that I honor mom and dad. Or I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing chores. I mean, this is important, folks. I mean, we're raising a generation of kids that don't know how to honor. And the reason I know that is by those stupid viral video clips that we see, and that's not the only one. My daughter has a good friend in Las Vegas that is a public school teacher, I think high school level, and she's been teaching for 2 years, and now she's looking for a different career. She's like, I can't handle it. There's so much disrespect. I can't have any order in the classroom. Anything I say, they do the opposite. It's dishonor. And we got to change that. The Christian home ought to be different. We ought to be salt and light. We ought to set the pace. We ought to model what it means to honor. And if you don't teach your kids to honor you, they're going to grow up and they're going to get a job and they're going to dishonor their boss. They're going to give their boss a piece of their mind, and their boss is going to give them a pink slip and say, close the door on your way out, because that's not going to work here. Because it doesn't work in the real world. How many know dishonor doesn't really work in the real world? Do your kids a favor. Man, I could spend an hour on that, but I'm gonna move on. I don't know, I'm passionate about it. I mean, we gotta get these kids when they're young. Don't wait till they're 16 or 18 or 22 and say, well, I guess I better start teaching them. No, it's too late then. It's too late then. They're on their way to juvenile detention. They're on their way to jail. They're on the way to all kinds of problems in their life. They're on their way to breakups in their marriage because they never learned how to honor somebody. They never understood and grasped the concept of honor and respect. Whew. I don't know. We got to change this thing. We got to turn it around. I mean, what are we going to wait for the world to do it? They're not going to do it. The church has got to do it. The church, the Christian parents. It starts in the home. This craziness in society, you know where that starts? It starts in the home. These crazy kids that are shooting, you know where that starts? It starts in the home. Somehow, those kids were probably left to just run wild. No discipline, no boundaries, no borders. Stay up all night if they want to, playing video games. And just craziness happens in their mind. We got to stop it. Here's the third group of people that we need to honor, and that's the civil authorities. Civil authorities, presidents, governors, mayors, police officers. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Well, we don't have kings, but we have authorities. All kinds of civil authorities. You know, and children are more caught than taught. You know, you notice that? I mean, you can tell your kids what to do, but if they see you doing something else, guess what they're going to do? They're going to do that. They're more caught than taught. And so, you know, if you're always talking bad, talking trash about, you know, the president or the mayor or the teachers or whatever, guess what? They're going to pick up on that, and they're going to do the same thing. They're going to have the same attitude you have about those civil authorities. You know, you can dislike and disagree with the civil authority and still honor the position. Wow, that was a weak amen. You can disagree. You can even dislike, but you can still honor the position that they hold. Brett was telling me about, he's a Miami Dolphin fan. I would say fanatic. And they have a star receiver on their team whose name is Tyreek Hill. And I think it was earlier this week, a week ago or so, he was pulled over by the police because he was driving about 130 miles per hour in his fancy sports car. And they were trying to dialogue with him, and he wouldn't cooperate. The police was at his window trying to talk to him, and he just rolls the window up and knocking on the window. He won't roll it down. He won't get out. They tell him to get out of the car. He won't get out. So finally, two or three police officers pull him out of the car, get him on the ground, put handcuffs on him, and take him to jail. Now, the social media erupts over that. Police brutality. Man, he's treated so unfairly. If the dude just cooperated and honored the civil authorities, he probably would have driven away from that situation without incident. Maybe a big ticket, but he would have driven away. Another group of people we need to honor is church leaders. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching." Now, it sounds a little self-serving for me to mention this scripture, but I got to preach the whole counsel of God, so that's why I do it. So basically, if you go home, I'll just say this. If you go home and have pastor for lunch after Sunday service, and your kids hear that, they're going to grow up with a sense of dishonor. And they're not, you or the kids are not going to be able to receive the gifting, the anointing of the ministry. Here's another group, the elderly. Leviticus 19:32, you shall rise or stand before the gray-headed and honor the presence of the old man and fear your God, for I am the Lord. I am the Lord. A lot of you guys probably didn't even know that scripture was in the Bible. You know, many cultures, you know, the elderly are highly esteemed and honored. But not so much in the Western culture. Really. In fact, it's just the opposite. Youth is celebrated, and it seems like the elderly are kind of pushed aside. I know one pastor, I talked to him, who was fired about the age of 60 years old because the board wanted to attract a younger demographic, and they thought maybe he was getting a little too old, so they fired him and hired the young guy. And I thought, that's crazy. Because this man has probably made all the mistakes that he was going to make, or made most of the major mistakes that we all make in life. And he's gained a level of wisdom through those mistakes and through the study of God's word over many decades. And now he is positioned to have many years of fruitful ministry. And so they fire him and they hire this young guy who is going to make all the same mistakes that this guy did and doesn't even have half the wisdom. Does that make sense to you? That doesn't make sense to me. You know, if you have gray hair, you have a lifetime of wisdom and experiences. Now, some of you have gray hair, but nobody knows. Only your hairdresser. But if you have gray hair, man, you got all this experience. You've spent time in the school of hard knocks. Amen? You've collected wisdom along the way. I tell you what, if I had to do it over again, I would seek out older Christians, gray-headed Christians, and I would seek out their wisdom. I would say, tell me what you've learned about marriage. Tell me what you've learned, maybe even the hard way, about finances and relationships and just, you know, marriage, handling money, career, all of this stuff. I would seek them out. They are a wealth of information. Hallelujah. And most of them are happy to share that. Come on. Most of them are happy. They're not going to say, hey, go away, dummy. Learn it the hard way like I did. No, they're not going to do that. You know, if they're Christians anyway, they're willing to sit down with you and share. You know, if I had to do it over again, man, I would do this. I would take more risks. I would, you know, I would honor more. I would do this, this, and this, you know, and just glean from them. Here's a sixth category. We need to honor widows. 1 Timothy 5:3, honor widows who are really widows. One way to honor widows is just doing practical things that they no longer can do, that maybe their husband did, and now they don't really have the ability to do that. Shovel their snow, change the light bulb, you know, offer to do some handyman stuff around their house so they don't have to pay someone $150 an hour to do it. Yes. Number seven, husbands, you are to honor your wife. 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. That means you're supposed to study your wife, guys. You're supposed to understand what makes her tick and what makes her ticked off. Dwell with them with understanding. Listen, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. If you don't honor your wife, your prayers are going to be hindered. That bottom line, period. You might as well just forget about praying. If you are dishonoring your wife, devaluing your wife, you're not treating her well at home, disrespecting her, not loving her, not cherishing, just forget about praying, because God's going like this when it comes to you. Amen? God gave this word to husbands and not wives. You know why I believe that is? Because wives are responders. So husbands, if you take the lead in showing honor to your wife, guess what? She is going to bend over backwards, showing honor and respect to you and meet all of your needs. It's just the way God designed it to work. Don't wait for her to do it. You be the first. Now, if you've had a lifestyle of dishonoring, it's going to take some time. She's going to look at you, dude, you are a joke. You know, I don't believe a thing that you're saying or doing. It's going to take some time to work all that bad seed out that you've sowed. But if you just keep at it, keep honoring, keep loving, keep cherishing, keep valuing her, then eventually she will begin to respond back to you in like kind. And then finally, we're to respect and honor all people. 1 Peter 2:7, honor all people. There's some practical ways to do that, just a couple ways. Number one is, let's listen well. We all like to hear ourselves talk, right? But if we're going to honor people, we need to zip this a little bit and then just give people our full attention, our undivided attention, and listen to their story, listen to their heart, listen to what they're going through, try to empathize. Another way to do it is express gratitude. Write people in your life that you want to honor, just a text or maybe a little card of thanksgiving. Just, hey, I'm just so appreciative of you. I'm so thankful for having you in my life and all the ways that you bless me. I want to finish with this very last story out of Genesis chapter 9, out of the life of Noah. This is after the flood. And it says, after the flood, Noah came out of the ark. He planted a vineyard. He made some wine. And he got drunk. Now, don't judge him. If he would have spent over a year in an ark with a bunch of smelly animals, you probably would have got drunk too. So he got drunk, and eventually he passed out naked in his tent. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham wandered into the tent and saw his father naked and went out and told his brothers, apparently in kind of a mocking way. And when Shem and Japheth heard about that, they were more honorable than Ham. And so they took a blanket or cloth or something and they walked into the tent backwards and laid the blanket over their dad so they didn't see the nakedness and covered the nakedness. And when Noah woke from his drunken stupor and found out what had happened, he actually spoke a curse. And this is what he said. Genesis chapter 9, verse 24. It says, when Noah woke from his wine and found out what his younger son had done to him, he said, cursed be Canaan. Canaan? Where'd Canaan come from? And we're talking about his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And all of a sudden, he's cursing Canaan. Who's Canaan? Canaan is Ham's son. And he says, cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves he will be to his brothers. He also said, praise be to the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be the slave of Shem. He's pronouncing this curse over him. This is going to be his life now. This is going to be his destiny. May God extend Japheth's territory. Bless Japheth. May Japheth live in the tents of Shem. But may Canaan be the slave of Japheth. Man, you'd think that, you know, he's pronouncing this curse, that he's going to curse his son, Ham, who did the deed. But instead, the curse bypasses him and lands upon his son. I just think that's powerful. I don't know if I even grasp the whole thing, other than, I think we got to be very careful about demonstrating dishonor in our home, because perhaps that's going to pass on to our children. And if they learn how to dishonor, then life will not go well with them. Wow. Passed over his son. And so basically, Ham has to watch this curse unfold upon his son over the years because of the dishonor that he showed. That's a powerful thing. So God has called us to have a culture of honor in our homes, a culture of honor in the church, and even to the best of our ability, we can't control everything, but a culture of honor on our jobs. We might not always agree with everybody or everything, but we can also always show honor. Amen? And in showing honor, we're going to have better relationships. Let's stand today. Hallelujah. I like to give an opportunity most of the time at the end of the service. If there's anybody here that's never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we're talking about relationship. The most important relationship you can have is a relationship with your Heavenly Father, your Creator. That doesn't happen automatically. You have to choose that. You have to go after that. Is there anybody here today that you would say, Pastor, I don't know that I have that personal relationship. I need that. I want that. Would you just raise your hands? I want to pray for you. Anybody here? We might all be believers. I just want to give you an opportunity to do that. Hallelujah. I wasn't sure how I was going to end this, but just this moment, the thought that came into my mind that some of you are having a difficult time in life. Things are not going well. Every time you try to go forward, it seems like you hit a brick wall. You take one step forward, two steps back. Nothing comes together for you. And the reason, perhaps, can be traced all the way back to this principle about honoring your parents. Maybe you're already out of the home. Maybe your parents are already passed away. But yet, you still hold dishonor. There's bitterness in your heart toward them. Now, your parents may have made a lot of mistakes. There's no perfect parents. But again, God did not call us to honor only perfect parents. I'm assuming that thought came because the Holy Spirit wants to deal with somebody today. He wants to get your life on track. God wants to bless us. He has such a good plan for our lives. But sometimes we nullify God's plan and we sidetrack ourselves because we don't understand some of these biblical principles. And guess what? They're going to work in our lives whether we understand them or not. They're going to work in our lives whether we believe them or not. You can get up on the top of this building and say, I don't believe in the law of gravity, and step off. And it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. You're going down. And you might think, well, that honoring parents stuff, that's not that big of a deal. Well, go ahead and think that. Life will not go well with you. It just won't. But you can change that right now. You can change it right now. You can make an adjustment in your heart. You can make a decision right now. You know, my parents may have hurt me. My parents may have abused me. My parents may have neglected me or abandoned me. But right now, God, I'm going to make a decision. I don't necessarily feel like it, but I'm going to make a decision right now that I purpose and choose to forgive my mother, my father, whatever they have done. and I'm going to let them go. I'm going to let that offense go. I've been dragging this ball and chain around for years, but I'm done with it. I'm taking the chain cutters, the bolt cutters. I'm going to cut that thing, leave that ball behind, and embrace the future that God has for me. Yeah. Unencumbered with that garbage of the past. You got something to say?
I just wanted to share a testimony along these lines. My mom divorced my father because he molested my sister. And he was not a good man. And I could go into many things that he did and didn't do for me or to me. But when I gave my life to the Lord, I was haughty, I was angry, I was bitter, I hated the man. He could do nothing good or right. And I disowned him because that's what you do. But when I came to the Lord, God started working on my heart, and he actually convicted me. And he said, Bobby, I want you to go to your father. Now, he didn't apologize to me. He had done nothing good for me. Understand this. Nothing good for my sister. I want you to go to your father, Bobby, and I want you to ask him to forgive you for your arrogance, for your bitterness, and for your pride in the way that you have dishonored him. And I did it. And it was a beautiful, beautiful breakthrough, not only for him, but healing for him, but for me, and I was able to go forward. Did I ever have a relationship? No, that's not what this is about. It was about me honoring the command of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe I would have grown if I had not done that. So I just wanted to share that.
Why don't you lead us in a prayer of forgiveness for our parents, for
okay.
those that need to do that.
All right. So this, you know, sometimes it's not a one-time prayer. Your parents, your father perhaps, have hurt you in many ways. But you got to start somewhere. And so if you would give me the permission to lead you in a forgiveness prayer and a repentance prayer to forgive your mom or your dad or both for what they've done to you, but then also repent for your dishonor. It doesn't matter what they did. I understand they may have hurt you, but the command of the Lord is for you to forgive them. And the command of the Lord is to honor them. And if you honor them, you know what? You're honoring God, and he will honor you. It's just the way it works. So do I have your permission to lead you in this prayer? Just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I purpose and choose by the act of my will, and to honor you, Lord, to forgive my mom, and to forgive my dad, for falling short,
for not being what I needed them to be,
for abusing me, for abandoning me. I forgive them, and I release them from all the debts, from all the obligations that I have held them to. Lord, I've held them that they owed me apology. But they do not owe me apology now.
They do not owe me apology now.
I release that.
I release that.
They owe me nothing.
They owe me nothing.
And Father, I confess. I have been bitter.
I have been bitter.
I have been angry.
I've been angry.
I have been prideful. And I have dishonored. And I have judged them. This is my sin.
Please forgive me.
I was wrong. And I am
sorry.
Satan, I break your power and authority over me.
In this situation.
Because I have forgiven mom and dad.
I have forgiven mom and dad.
And God has forgiven me.
God has forgiven me.
It's all under the blood of Jesus Christ.
It's all under the blood of Jesus Christ.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Please heal my heart. Cleanse my mind.
Cleanse my mind.
And speak your words of truth to me.
Speak your words of truth to me.
Now just listen. The Holy Spirit's always talking to us. Might be a memory. Might be a still small voice. Might be a song. Might be just a feeling. It might be a memory where your parent had wronged you. And that's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, son, hey, daughter, let's deal with that one now. And you just forgive and you just repent. And it's a beautiful, beautiful process. Father, we thank you that you are the perfect Father. And above all else, you deserve the honor of our lives. And Father, we honor you today with our brokenness. We honor you today in forgiving our parents. And we honor you today by asking you to forgive us for our pride and arrogance and disrespect towards them. We honor you today and we trust you. Because you are worthy. You are worthy of everything. In Jesus' name.
You know, whatever deficit was left in your heart as a result of mistakes from your parents, your Heavenly Father wants to fill. He wants to fill that. He wants to flood your heart with so much love. He wants to demonstrate that He's the perfect Heavenly Father. So whatever's missing in your heart, God, your Heavenly Father, can, will, wants to fill. I think some of you are going to experience another level of relationship simply by taking this step of obedience and letting go of this stuff from the past. That's going to open up your heart to experience the love of the Father in ways that you never have. So be expecting that. Now, if you need some additional prayer, we have a ministry team that's going to be down here up front. Just come down here and let them pray with you. Otherwise, Lord bless you. It's been great to be in church with you. Have a wonderful day.